Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our soul, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the third talk on analyzing the audience. To whom are we speaking, and what's the situation? That you have to understand before you can, really preach in adversity. Because we want to encourage our own people, but we want to address everybody else. Why do they have to be adversaries? We want to help the poor. But we have a vision, you see, that reaches from them right back up to God. Their dignity comes from God, not from the state, and not from my, being nice to them. Their dignity is independent of me. Their dignity comes from where my dignity comes from God. So now I'm going to start looking at how this document, Gaudi Mitzpes, the second part of 21, and all of this famous number 22, as guiding principle for how in adversity we preach. In other words, yes, we instruct our people and we address the issues and we speak the truth. All right. Above all, the church knows that her message is in harmony with the most secret desires of the human heart when she champions the dignity of the human vocation. Human vocation. Restoring hope to those who have already despaired of anything higher than their present lot. Things can be different. Far from diminishing man, her message brings to his development light, life, and freedom. Apart from this message, nothing will avail to fill up the heart of man. Anybody who's been, in a parish of very wealthy people knows they have all the problems of the poor. They can coat them over more easily. They have more luxury. They have more travel. They have, but the problem is loneliness and fear. And they have it just as bad as the poor. So if you're in a rich parish, you just don't say, give all your money to the poor. You address them so they know the love of Christ. Then the love of Christ will inspire them. Far from diminishing man, the church's message brings to his development light, life, and freedom. Apart from this message, nothing will avail to fill up the heart of man. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Everybody we talk to. We're preaching in adversity, and if everybody out there is adverse to us, still, the only solution to their life is to know God. Their hearts will be restless until they rest in God. And if we've experienced that in our own life, we don't have to just quote it. We know it. And we are addressing that so that their hearts will rest in God. We're not just defending ourselves. And so it's to mediate that universal sense. So now, in this last paragraph 22, which is very famous in Gaudi Mitzpes, it brings out this point. The truth is that only in the mystery of the incarnate word does the mystery of man take on light. Who are we? What are we doing here? We all know how we got conceived and born, but what are we doing here? And why are we here? You see, for Adam, the first man, was a figure of him who was to come, namely Christ the Lord, who is our Adam, our source. Christ, the final Adam, by the revelation of the mystery of the Father and his love, fully reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. It is not surprising then that in him all the aforementioned truths find their root and attain their crown. If we really know Jesus, then we know what satisfies the human heart. So we don't have to say it all the time, but we have to be it all the time. I've had the honor of working in my life with people whose vocation is to work with the poor and destitute, including that first person I mentioned, that woman religious in Rome. And I've always seen that people are very happy to be fed and to get some money to feed their children, but their deep heart is only satisfied when they can see the image of Christ in us. And so that's part of this preaching in adversity, is not to be adversarial, but to be truthful and loving, and to see what is the situation. That's why I'm going through these texts in Gaudium et Spes. What is the human situation, you see? He who is the image of the invisible God is himself the perfect man. But what did he do? Who did he hang around with? What did he preach? The mercy of the Father to everybody, not just the poor. You know, you can hate those rich because they're just rich. No, everybody. Everybody's going to die and be judged by God. Okay. So, since human nature as he assumed it was not annulled by that very fact that has been raised up to a divine dignity in our respect to, the divinity didn't crush the humanity of Christ, nor will it divine help crush anyone. For by his incarnation, the Son of God has united himself in some fashion with every man. He worked with human hands, he thought with a human mind, acted by human choice, and loved with a human heart. Born of the Virgin Mary, he has been made one of us, like us in all things except sin. And now it goes on to talk about the Lord Christ. This is important. Because, you see, it's not just the poor, it's adversity. You see, and I'm going to talk about that now to conclude sort of these introductory reflections. I found it in myself, and then I could recognize it in others. There could be a very fierce pride in setting the world right. I am going to set the world right. And whatever I do is justified by that. So I can hate, I can preach hate, I can connive, because I am the liberator. There's this is especially atheistic communism. Marx appealed to this, Lenin openly almost appealed to this. We have to construct the world without God, and I can show you how to do it. And so it becomes this competition, which is Nietzsche, you see, between this idea of God and real life. Well, how does the preacher of the gospel cut through that? First, love. Look at the impact that John Paul made on people, because he loved. Look at the impact that our new Pope and Benedict as well. You know, it's love. And from love comes a loving way to encourage people and to address our adversaries. If you said, you know, the church is too comfortable, I'd say, you're right. I don't have to defend it. I have to defend the doctrines. I have to defend where the church is right. But I don't have to defend the church when we're wrong. I don't have to join them either. But I have to say, yeah, upon that, you're right. Why can't we join forces and work together? I think it was John the 23rd in one of his encyclicals said, advice to Christians who are working with the poor. If you can work with the communists to help the poor, that's okay. but preach Christ. And so, see, preaching in adversity means what? Preaching in atheism. Because that's the adversary, the denial of God. And all the others are, the adversaries are not as serious, not as, the issue is the existence of God. And therefore, the atheism that we're going to be talking about in the next two or three of these talks, I wanted to first get this part straight. You know, the answer is Christ. And we, in whom Christ lives, must show forth Christ. And we can't do that with pride or arrogance, but with humility and love. And I mean a really human, simple love. It doesn't have to be a big show. But people know when we love. And if the preacher loves those to whom he's speaking, people know it. And that is the key to preaching in adversity. You can preach to your adversary. You can speak with your adversary. Some, the hatred is so deep and demonic, there's probably nothing we can do. The Lord can still do a miracle. But there are so many people who are frightened and angry at all the inequalities in the world, and they deny that there's a God, and they are opposed to us who are living a comfortable life and don't seem to care about them, who proclaim God. One of the hippies used to say things. I used to work with the hippies years ago when there were hippies around, and they had this phrase, "You know, man, I can't hear what you're saying because who you are is talking too loud." That's a very profound phrase, even if it is from a hippie. You know, they had some good things to say. Preaching in adversity means being clear and being loving and being honest. Now, most of the preaching we do in adversity is not to the adversary. That's a good idea. It's to the people in the pew who half side with us and half side with them. And we have to get on the side of the Lord and then speak to these issues in a way that gives people something that they can do, something they can, you know, entertain as possible for them, and to help them look at the suffering in this world with the eyes of Christ, with compassion. You see, as I quoted that Vincent de Paul saying, you know, to Sister Miriam, didn't I? "You have a beautiful smile, Sister Miriam. Always smile like that, with love, and the poor will forgive you for the food you give them." Now that's one of the greatest social action men ever to live in the church. And he got it. He got it. You see, it's when I'm trying and they're forgiving that we bond. And then the other issues are not as important. The big one has been traversed. We still have to help everyone have a life that is worthy of their human calling.